Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani and welcome to another exclusive Finer Minds interview. Today on the phone I have Arjuna Adar, and I met Arjuna personally in Hawaii a couple of months back and I was blown away by this man. So before I tell you about Arjuna, let me tell you what me and Arjuna are going to be talking about in this teleseminar. Arjuna is an awakening coach, and in a moment he's going to define what he means by awakening. But in this teleseminar, Arjuna is going to talk about why this economic downturn that we're really experiencing is really good news. He's going to talk about how the whole rules of the game have now changed. He's going to talk about how manifesting and the law of attraction are so 2005 and are no longer as important as they once were. He's going to talk about what the game is now really about and why this is so much more incredible and more fulfilling than you'd think. He's also going to talk about why he believes we are now about to witness the biggest evolutionary leap that humankind have ever experienced in recorded history. And he's going to talk about why he thinks we are entering into what is about to become an incredible time to be alive. And finally, he's going to give you tools that you can use to make this downturn heaven rather than a hell. Arjuna, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Vishen. It's wonderful to hear your voice again. And it brings back very fond and sparkling memories of our time in Hawaii together.
Thank you. Yes, so Arjuna, one of the biggest questions people have in their head right now is, what is awakening?
Okay, great question, Vishen. So, awakening simply means the shift from the habitual state to which we've got accustomed of filtering our experience through thought, through evaluation, through comparison, through regret, through desire, through fear. It's a shift from filtering our experience through thinking to having direct experience itself. It means shifting from mind to no mind. And let me briefly elaborate on that. In fact, all the time, you and I and everyone listening to this call is actually irreversibly nailed to the present moment. People sometimes talk about being here and now. It's impossible to be any other time than here and now, because all we've got is this moment where we are. But in addition to hearing sounds, just now I can hear the beautiful sound of the birds in the evening where I live. In addition to seeing colors, just now I can see the magnificent spread of green grass in my garden. In addition to smelling smells and tasting tastes and feeling body sensations, in addition to all of this, which is absolutely real and vibrant and pulsing with energy, a great deal of our attention, in fact, more of our attention, goes to the mental realm, which means we're not just hearing sounds, we're evaluating the sounds, we're wondering what they mean, when we're listening to a friend, we're not just listening to what the friend is saying. We're comparing, we're analyzing, we're judging, we're preparing what we want to say in response. And this mental commentary, which runs alongside our experience, actually kills joy. It can be useful if you know how to switch it on and switch it off. But once you get addicted to living through the mind, it kills joy and it creates separation. It means that you experience everything as separate from yourself, because it's all filtered through thought. And by living in separation, it means we also live in strategy. We live in a world of trying to manipulate reality constantly to try and get more for me. Awakening means not that you switch all that off. You can't switch it off. It's genetically inherited. Not that you switch off the mind, but that you have at least a moment of realizing who you are and what reality is when you are no longer trapped in compulsive thinking. And what is revealed in a moment of awakening is peace, is humor, is gratitude, is an immense reservoir of generosity of spirit within us waiting to give its gift. What is revealed when we awaken, even for a moment, it's the opposite of separation, which is oneness.
Well, that's beautiful. But, well, let me just play devil's advocate.
So yes, please.
What's the big deal about oneness?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I've met your beautiful wife. And I know from being with the two of you together that you share a huge love between you. It's obvious that you really enjoy each other's company. Wouldn't that be true?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, Christiana, right, is her name?
Christina, right.
Christina, yeah. So you could say, I really love Christina. I love Christina. She's from, where is it? She's from one of the ex-Russian states.
Estonia. Right.
You could say, I love Christina. And I can understand what you would. She's a beautiful, intelligent, fantastic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could say to you, well, great, Vicenza, you love Christina. So what's so great about love? But there are some things, Vishen, as you well know, there are some things which are intrinsically fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a why. Now, money, for example, is not intrinsically fulfilling. As you probably know, you can meet people who've amassed, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they are not fulfilled. They're still anxious, they're still driven, they're still wanting more. You can meet people who have almost nothing and who are very happy. So money is clearly not an intrinsically fulfilling value, nor is prestige intrinsically fulfilling, nor is power intrinsically fulfilling, nor in fact is material acquisition intrinsically fulfilling. Those things, nothing wrong with those things, but they are not ends in themselves,
mm-hmm.
you see. But love, on the other hand, is intrinsically fulfilling. When you feel love, you don't feel love so you can get something else. When you feel love, that's the end of the game. You rest in peace. Similarly, silence, peace, oneness. Oneness means to feel connection, to feel intimacy, to look into the eyes of your child and to recognize that the dotted red line where you end and your child begins is very thin at that place. It's really, you're feeling almost like there's a merging of who you are and who your child is. This is oneness, and it is intrinsically fulfilling. It's once you experience that kind of fullness, your life then becomes about giving rather than trying to get.
I like that, Arjuna. Thanks for that explanation. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good explanation. So, Arjuna, most people these days are talking about doom and gloom. You seem unusually optimistic. I mean, you're one of the happiest people I've met. Now, why is that? How are you viewing the world differently from everyone else?
Well, first of all, Vishen, let me say it's absolutely not just me, and I'm not even the greatest example of this. There is a tidal wave of people all over the world now who are tapping into a different way of being alive, a different way of connecting with themselves. And that's really what I documented exhaustively in my 2005 book, The Translucent Revolution. What we're seeing now is the collapse of a certain state of consciousness that was based almost entirely on material and financial acquisition, which it was based on the idea that whoever dies with the most toys wins. But, you know, more and more people today are realizing through exploring that mentality exhaustively, they're realizing it doesn't work. That to make your life just about money and getting more and more stuff, although that's important, if that's all your life is about, you end up miserable. So there are a tremendous number of people all over the world, and there are millions, who are discovering a source of well-being within themselves, which is actually independent of your financial and material situation. Now, that doesn't mean you renounce the world. You can enjoy the world perfectly well. But your sense of well-being is no longer tied to your bank account or the size of your house or the make of your car.
I love that. And that's a beautiful explanation. So what is the sense of well-being tied to then?
Well, that's a beautiful question. The sense of well-being is actually tied to something which doesn't even show up on the radar at all in the values which have dominated for the last decades and which have really found their sort of peak expression in the philosophy of manifesting in the law of attraction. Because the law of attraction, I mean, as it states, and I know I'm going to be controversial by questioning the doctrine of the law of attraction, but the law of attraction obviously is about attracting something to you.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, before you even start attracting something to you, take a look and see what you've already got. which means take a look, check in to who it is or what it is that you actually are already. Now, when I say who you are, I don't mean your thoughts and beliefs. When I say who you are, I don't mean your position in society. When I say who you are, I don't mean how much money you've got or what kind of job you do. When I say who you are, I don't mean any of that. When I say who you are or what you are, I mean in this moment now, as you hear the sounds around you, as you feel the sensations in your body in this moment, as you notice the thoughts passing, but recognizing them to be thoughts, who is it or what is it who is actually experiencing that? Now, what I can report to you, Vishen, is that millions of people, and this is what I documented in that book, Translucent Revolution, millions of people all over the world, in all different walks of life, these are not overtly spiritual people. I can count among their number the senior management at Unilever, for example, and the retired bishop of Edinburgh Cathedral. These are not New Age people at all. More and more people are realizing that who they are is the gold. That requires not a shift of external circumstance, not attracting more things to you. That requires not an external change, but a shift in consciousness. And that shift in consciousness is the pivotal thing that is going to make this next period either heaven or hell. For the next years on this planet, and I can explain a little bit why I can make this prediction, but for the next years on this planet, if you're attached to the old game, this is going to be a very painful time. If you can understand that the old game had to die and there's a whole new game waiting to be played, this is going to be more fun than you ever thought was possible.
I love how confidently you put that. So what is the easiest way then to shift into this new consciousness?
Well, the easiest way is actually what I just described, but the problem is not so much the way in. The portal into the new consciousness is waiting all the time. The problem is not so much the access, the problem is the valuation of the access. So the way into the new consciousness is to shift your attention from what you do and what you think and what you believe and what you attract to who you already are. Before you start manifesting more stuff, take stock of what you've already got. And then you realize that the whole obsession with manifesting and attracting is like the son of a multi-billionaire begging on the streets. It's unnecessary, you see, because there is something, there is a dimension to you which is already splendidly at ease and splendidly full. So that's the key. And the very, very simple way to bring that shift is to find out how to take the attention from things that move in time and space to that which is aware of things moving. Then you discover within yourself, as yourself, is this vast expanse of consciousness, vast expanse of creativity, which is actually here on this planet to give and to bless, not to get stuff for itself so much. That's the simple part. The tricky part for awakening coaches, I train people to be coaches in this domain. The tricky part is to help people to value that, to put their value, as Jesus said a long time ago, he said, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else is added unto you. But that's kind of tricky for people to get the hang of, that if you can just stay resting in this relaxed presence that you are, everything else comes to you very easily. So the tricky thing is valuing, but also learning how to live from this relaxed ease in the midst of seemingly stressful circumstances.
I see. Now, just before we move on, for those of you who are listening in and may have to leave at this point, you can learn more about Arjuna by going to finerminds.com/Arjuna. That's spelled A-R-J-U-N-A. And you can learn about his Let Yourself Go program. Once again, it's ARJUNA, findaminds.com/Arjuna. Okay, back to the questions. So Arjuna, you train people to work in businesses. What impact is that having?
It's having a huge impact, Vishen, and this is the most fascinating arena. Because in one sense, you know, business leadership has been tremendously driven by what I call the Iago trance, which means a trance of separation. The business world, probably more than any other endeavor, maybe the military would be another example, has been tremendously driven by the hyper-masculine mind, which means really consciousness on, you know, heavy doses of testosterone. So business becomes about making a killing, wiping out the competition, launching a campaign. These are military terms. And consequently, large corporations have, for the most part, developed a very bad reputation because they're seen as a kind of rape and plunder sort of mentality. But the people actually running corporations, when you meet them face to face, are human beings like you and me, who with, you know, children who are going to grow up and inherit the earth, and with families, and with stress, and with all of that. So everyone's really in a position of, you know, don't blame me, I just work here. So when you can actually connect with business leadership, these days, because of the enormous shifts in the economy, and more than that, the unpredictability of the economy, most business leaders these days are very stressed and very freaked out, and their old strategic way of doing things is no longer working. So there is huge thirst and huge receptivity to shifting consciousness. But it has to be done in a way that is really free of tradition, free of dogma, free of belief systems, and free of allegiance to any organization or teacher. The average business person doesn't want to follow a guru. They want to experience freedom from stress and a capacity to give their gifts in a relaxed way. So that is what we train awakening coaches to do. An awakening coach is somebody who has a high level of expertise in many different competencies to be able to facilitate shifts in consciousness that are permanent.
I see. Now, I know that you've trained some 1,000 people to be awakening coaches. What exactly, now, how exactly does an awakening coach cause someone to shift their consciousness? What does the process look like?
Yeah, so awakening coaches are trained in 6 core competencies, which we won't have time to go into those in much depth right now. But the 6 core competencies are a really comprehensive tool set to be able to bring about shifts in consciousness which can be stabilized within the context of modern life. So these competencies include, for example, the capacity to help someone shift from contraction to expansiveness, the capacity to help someone release emotional charges which are held in the body and which otherwise govern the way that we relate to people, to opportunities, to crisis. We tend to respond to life from pent-up charges unless we know how to liberate those charges. And most important, an awakening coach knows how to prescribe the right practices to their clients. And those practices help their clients to, you could say, carve out new pathways so that they can learn to live in a different way. And it's comprehensive, so they learn how to live in a different way in business leadership, but it's in the same time they're learning how to be in relationship in a different way, how to be a parent in a different way, how to be politically and socially active in a different way. And all of this is learning how to become familiar with that expansive consciousness, which is your true nature.
I see. Now, Arjuna, I'm trying to visualize, and I know people listening in as well are also trying to visualize how this happens. Can you give us an example of an exercise or a method that you take someone through to help them experience awakening? I mean, what is it? Is it a meditation? Is it a one-on-one dialogue? Could you clarify?
Sure, sure. Well, would you like to be a guinea pig, Vishen?
No, absolutely not. Not with 2,000 people listening, but thank you for asking. But no, if you can just give us an example.
Okay. Very honest of you. Okay. So, yes, well, the simplest example is actually one that I guide listeners through in great, great detail in the Let Yourself Go CD series, which I know you're offering today. which is to notice in this moment, and perhaps I can guide your listeners through this now for a few minutes.
Sure.
Would that be okay?
Yes. If you can give us a brief idea, that would be great.
Yeah. Brief. Yeah. So in this moment now, as you are listening to the sound of my voice, and you've been listening to the sound of Hashem's voice, there's absolutely no question that you are hearing the sounds. In fact, if you're listening to this teleseminar, you could just say to yourself, I am hearing the sounds. Now, generally speaking, the attention is completely glued onto the sounds. It's so glued onto the sounds, it becomes almost like a fixation. But just take a moment to relax that grip and to notice what you've just said. I am hearing the sounds. So the sounds are here. The hearing is here, which is a biological process. But also the eye is here. This thing you call me is also here showing up and receiving the sounds. So without thinking about it, you can't really get this through thinking. It's an special thing. But just let your attention relax back into being this me or this I. Just allow your attention to relax, just as you might fall back into a feather bed and just relax into being this me. And just notice what happens when the attention shifts from the sounds to that which is hearing. And we could do that one more time. You could just look now. Just look out. Open your eyes if they're not already open. And just look out and notice what you see. You're going to see shapes and paths and maybe movement. And as you look and notice what you see in this moment, the attention is normally glued onto things that have limits in time and space. Shapes, movement, color, texture. And just for a moment, say, just to yourself quietly, just say, I am seeing, and then whatever you're seeing. So I could say, I am seeing the tree. You could say, I am seeing whatever you're seeing. Just say that to yourself. And now, notice what you've said. I am seeing, let's take, for example, the tree. I am seeing the tree. The tree is here. The seeing is here. It's a biological process involving the eyes and the nerves. But now just let the attention relax into being the I, the me. And just for a moment, notice what happens. Notice what happens as the attention shifts from the tree through the seeing to the I. Now, this is not an interactive teleseminar today, so we're not going to be able to get feedback, but I can tell you that I have guided somewhere close to 25,000 people through that process now over the last almost 20 years. And through my publications and CDs, I've been able to influence many more people than that. And everybody, sooner or later, comes to the same recognition. So let me tell you what most people discover if they hang out with that for a few minutes. They realize that the tree has limits, but the eye is limitless. The tree has a beginning and an end in time, but the eye is timeless. So we discover that who we really are is more of a presence than a thing. It has no boundaries. It's at peace, even in the midst of outer chaos. The more we relax into being that presence, the more your relationship to life shifts from one of acquisition, trying to get stuff for me, to one of generosity. And then we discover that actually the whole point of being here on this planet is not to get, but to give. You're here to bless. And that's how you actually find the purpose of being alive, is to wake up, awaken to that deeper dimension of yourself, and to let it give its gift. I'm sure you've noticed that when you love another human being, you feel so much more expansive than when you're trying to get love. And the same is true for everything that you do.
That's beautiful, Arjuna. I mean, I love how eloquently you put that.
Well, that's the name of the game these days, Hashem, you know, and that's really, I think, what it's important for us all to recognize is the days of acquisition and the spiritualized version of acquisition, which is called manifesting or the law of attraction, It was great while it lasted. It was a necessary phase of human development, but that phase of the game is now over. And it's no longer fun to play that game. In a contracting economy, trying to get more and more stuff for me is just going to be frustrating. But there's a whole new game opening up and waiting to be played, and you can see it all over the web. You can see more and more people are waking up to making a difference, contributing, giving. And the only way to be able to give effectively is to recognize yourself to be limitless.
I like that. So let me try to rephrase that in my words to make sure that I understand and people listening in understand. What you're really teaching,
yeah,
and what I find interesting about this is you're really teaching a quick path to happiness. A lot of people think that they need to acquire more to become happy. More money, material possessions, more love. What you're teaching is really a shortcut to happiness. You're teaching awakening, which is recognizing that you are a presence connected to everything and everyone else. And you do not need these tools to get you to become happy. You simply need to understand that you are joy, you are happiness, you are love. And that's what you mean by experiencing awakening and connectedness. Am I correct?
Yes, that's absolutely great, Vishen. I'd just like to add one caveat, if I may, one small thing. Because what we're talking about goes against our conditioned habits, we've been so conditioned to make life about getting more and more stuff, this does require some support, and it's not just a matter of understanding. It does require retraining consciousness in a certain way, and that's actually what I've endeavored to do with this CD series, Let Yourself Go. It's a home study course you can use on 6 CDs, and it guides you through how to deconstruct your mind, how to deconstruct the belief systems that are really unnecessary, and not to replace them, not to replace negative beliefs with positive beliefs, but how to actually begin to live free of belief, which is where you can enter into life. You step out of the constraint of belief, both positive and negative. You enter into life, and life starts to live you in a way that is much more powerful, with much more energy, much more excitement, and much more contribution to be found when we let go and allow something to take us over. All of the great art has been created that way. All of the fortunes have been made that way. All of the great inventions have happened that way. That's how Einstein discovered what he discovered, by letting go and allowing something to move through him.
I like that. Now, for those of you listening in, if you'd like to experience Arjuna's program, Let Yourself Go, simply go to findaminds.com/Arjuna. As you know, we fund these teleseminars by the occasional sale of products, and we always make sure that you get the very best deal anywhere out on the internet. So if you wanted to buy Arjuna's program, go to findaminds.com/Arjuna. Let me just tell you why this is a good deal. Firstly, Arjuna is giving away 7 bonuses. In addition to his Let Yourself Go program and his book Leap Before You Look, all of which are available for a really, really good price, the best price that's currently available out there, he's going to add 7 additional bonuses. And again, I won't talk about that in too much detail because you can find it on the web, findaminds.com/Arjuna. Let's get back to the questions. Now, Arjuna, I want you to tell us a little bit about your background, because there are a couple of things about you which I know are pretty impressive. For example, you are a Cambridge graduate. Am I correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And for those of you who aren't familiar, that is one of the toughest, most prestigious universities in the entire world. And the other really impressive thing about Arjuna is his book Translucent Revolution, released in 2005. It was a bestseller, and that book has been endorsed by some amazing minds in this industry, people along the lines of Ken Wilber and anyone else, Arjuna?
Yes, there's a whole catalog of them. Jack Canfield, Lynn Twist, Marianne Williamson, all the usual suspects.
Right.
Now, yeah, no, it's been very well endorsed. I was very, very grateful for that.
Now tell me this. Why were all these people so impressed by your work? What would you think was the one thing that made such a respected authority in the field, someone along the lines of Ken Wilber, decide to I believe he wrote the prologue to your book?
He wrote the foreword, yeah.
He wrote the foreword. What got these people excited about your work? What was that one thing?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, actually, if you don't mind me being a little bit elusive here, probably the thing that got people going most was that it was not my work. Really, I was acting as a reporter, a commentator on something that is happening to everybody, but not everybody is necessarily ready, necessarily ready to articulate it. So I can read you what Lynn Twist wrote. Lynn Twist, she wrote the book, The Soul of Money. She's one of the most successful fundraisers in the world. She's raised billions of dollars to end hunger on the planet.
And she saved 3 million acres of rainforest land in the Amazon.
Founder of the Panchamama Alliance.
Right.
Yeah,
she's an amazing person. She, go on.
Yeah, so it's her endorsement on the front of the book. It says, a brilliant and timely missive from an author who is deeply in touch with the pulse and essence of our evolution and our awakening. So I think the reason that people really resonated with this book, including Oprah, was not so much because it was coming from me or that it's something that I'm doing. The book is simply a commentary on the next evolutionary step for humanity. So, as I've said, the important foundation step was increasing our capacity to manifest. And I think we've really established by now that thought creates reality. We've kind of got that piece. The next evolutionary step after manifesting and after the law of attraction is awakening. And that means to actually awaken from the mind that wants to manifest, that wants to manipulate reality, and to discover who you are and what life is when you actually take stock of what you've already got without trying to add more to it.
I see. Now here's something that I know a lot of people are wondering, though. I mean, most people today have busy lives, working, parenting, dealing with bills and many other pressures. Doesn't your approach require some sort of reclusion from the world?
No, it doesn't require reclusion. Quite the opposite. And this is a very, very interesting point you've raised. Because traditionally, the word awakening, it has been associated with a renunciation of the world, with people becoming a monk or a recluse or something. And we used to think that you had to give up the world to find yourself. The translucent revolution that I'm describing, which is a very real phenomenon that millions of people will attest to is true, the translucent revolution is not just about more and more people waking up. It's about the way that they're waking up. And that is that the awakening now is happening completely within the context of ordinary life. So there's nobody who I interviewed for that book who is a celibate. Nobody who I interviewed for the book has renounced money. In fact, everybody I interviewed is fully immersed in the world. Some are artists, like I interviewed Leonard Cohen, Alan Ball, who wrote the film American Beauty, Alex Gray, a great artist of our time. I interviewed school teachers. I interviewed a lot of business leaders and business consultants. I interviewed political leaders, educators, religious leaders from mainstream religion, not from alternative religions. And all of these people are completely immersed in life and giving, but they have learned how to live their participation in life from a different place. So the answer is that if you're a parent, your parenting happens in a completely different way in the light of this awakening. If you're married, your marriage happens in a completely different way in the light of this awakening. And this is what all of this work is about that I'm putting out, the Let Yourself Go CD series, and particularly the book that comes along with it in your offer, the A Leap Before You Look. It's 72 practices that you can do in your day-to-day life. They mostly take like 3 to 5 minutes, short practices that you can do, which will help you to live your life more from this presence and less from the contraction of the mind.
I see. Now, I know you do a lot of work with businesses. Can you define what you mean by awakening leadership?
Sure. Awakening leadership is being recognized by all kinds of different names. But awakening leadership is also, it's very tied to the idea of servant leadership, which means that the leader, instead of being the boss or the controller, in charge of, in control of the situation, the leader is actually in service to the organization, in service to the people in the organization. The leader has a high level then of ability to respond to things rather than ability to direct things. And of course, our ability to respond is summed up in the word responsibility. So the real meaning of responsibility is to enter a situation without an agenda. And when you have no agenda, when you have no perceptual bias of how things should be, when you are free of strategy, you are able to respond appropriately to each moment. This is awakening leadership, and the only way that a leader today can really be fully responsible is to learn how to step out of unconscious belief patterns, unconscious limitations of belief. And that's, again, what the CD series is all about. Three of the CDs out of six are about how to deconstruct your belief systems so that you can meet life in innocence again. You can learn how to meet life.
Arjuna, can you give us some example of what you mean by belief systems that we might want to get rid of or deconstruct?
Yeah, sure. Belief systems, they always work in polarity. So mostly we are aware of what we would call the negative polarity. For example, there's not enough time. I'm sure many people can relate to that idea, there's not enough time. But it's not that when you say it, it becomes a belief in the mind. But it's also an emotional contraction. You see, there's not enough time. It's something you think. But it's also something you feel. There's a certain emotional frequency to not enough time. And it's also something in the body. So generally, when you're feeling a lack of time, you get tight in your breathing. So it becomes a contraction of your lungs. And deeper than belief, and deeper than emotional reactivity, and deeper than physical contraction, there is what we could call energetic contraction, which means there's not enough time actually exists as a contraction within consciousness. Now, most of we don't know what that means because it's invisible, but it's a contraction just in yourself before it's created any story at all. So we learn how to liberate that contraction. And what we discover, very interesting, is the contraction is generating the negative belief, but it's also generating what we think of as the positive belief, you see. So there's not enough time, and there's plenty of time. They are both being generated by the same contraction. Let me give you another example to make it clearer. Somebody might have the contracted feeling, nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to spend time with me. But anyone who feels that way is going to try and create a world where everybody likes me. So popularity becomes a very important value. So these two things, nobody likes me, everybody likes me, they actually go together. They are a polarity generated out of one contraction. When you learn how to liberate the contractions, and that's what the CD set guides you through, when you learn how to liberate these contractions, which is also what awakening coaches are trained to do, you learn how to live in a naked experience of life where you're meeting life fresh, where nobody likes me and everybody likes me have both disappeared. So you start to meet people just as they are, just in this moment, without either one interfering. Now imagine what would happen if you took a frequency like there's not enough money, and then its polarity, which is abundance or, you know, like prosperity consciousness, if you collapse them both. If not enough money and having masses of money, if both of those disappeared, what would you be free to do with your life? If you were no longer thinking about money in either its lack or its abundance, think of the energy that would free up to give your gifts, to make a contribution. And everything's like that. Everything's like that. Our entire life, when it's lived through conditioning, our entire life is generated by these polarities, by trying to move away from one and towards the other. Instead of trying to dissolve the negative and move into the positive, which is what we have been doing for several decades, the next evolutionary leap for all of us is to step beyond both polarities into raw experience of life itself, where your true gifts can be given.
Wow, I mean that's some heavy stuff. Now, people whom you've put through this program, what kind of results have they gotten?
Phenomenal results.
Can you give us a couple of examples?
Results. Sure. I mean, what people discover really, it's the usual parameters of results doesn't really work. What people discover is it's like being let out of prison. That's how people discover it. It's like you're liberated from prison and you start to find out why you're here, what you really want to do with your life. And most people have been driven by forces which are completely conditioned. They've been driven by the force to make as much money as possible, to get as much power as possible, or to excel in some way. But actually, the true geniuses in this world, the true visionaries, it's coming from a different place. You see, it's coming from a generosity of spirit that's deeper than any of those driven forces. So, the people who do our program, they say that they get every day more and more free of these forces, and they discover their true gift, and then it flows in a very effortless way.
I see.
Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm talking about, for example, not enough money and an abundance of money flows more easily when your life is not just about money. Perhaps I could illustrate this very, very quickly with a little story. That several years ago, my friend Pete Russell, who wrote the book The Global Brain, he came to visit us for the weekend, for a little time off from his teaching. And he was in the living room playing Monopoly with my younger son. And you know how Monopoly is, you know, you put the top hat or the sports car or something around the board and it lands on hotels and things. And my younger son, who was, you know, maybe 6 or 7 at the time, he got really upset. And when he landed on Pete's hotels and had to pay money, he got really upset because he had got completely immersed in the game. So the game for him had really become only about winning. Whereas for Pete, you see, Pete was relaxed about it. Pete was just there to have fun with the kids. He didn't really mind so much if he won or lost. For him, the point of coming to our house was to have a good time. Now that's really the difference between the old game and the new game. Are you playing to win only, or are you playing to play? But there is a corollary to that, because if you accept that, if you can accept that contrast, if you're playing to play, as Pete was, I think you would probably could quickly see that your chances of winning are actually much greater. Imagine if you're doing business, but you're playing to play rather than playing to win. Your chances of winning are much greater because you're more relaxed, you're more flowing, you're more creative, you're more humorous, you're able to take risks in a more easygoing way. Of course, you're going to win more easily when your life is not just about winning. So there is a hidden trick to this, but you can't do it on that basis. You can't play to play so that you win. You play to play because that is why you're here. You're here to play. You're here to give. You're here to dance the dance. And then winning actually comes as a byproduct.
Thank you, Arjuna. That's beautiful. And for everyone listening in, once again, you can experience this awakening yourself by going to findaminds.com/Arjuna, A-R-J-U-N-A. And Arjuna's put together a really good package for anybody who wants to experience an awakening. And in addition to getting Arjuna's CD series and his book for a really good price, Arjuna has also put together 7 bonuses. So it really is a good package, something that I would strongly recommend. Now, Arjuna, I have a question. Your 2005 book is called The Translucent Revolution. What do you mean by translucent revolution?
Okay, good. It's a great question. So translucent, literally, translucent is a word that applies to physical objects. And it means neither transparent nor opaque, right? So a sheet of completely clean glass, a completely clean sheet of glass, so clean that you could bump into it and not notice it was there, that would be a transparent object. Mm-hmm. An opaque object would be like the wall, you know, it doesn't let light through at all. But a translucent object would be something like maybe a piece of frosted glass or a crystal or a sculpture or a piece of stained glass. It lets light through. It doesn't block the light, but it maintains its color and its shape. So in the same way, when someone has this kind of awakening in the way that I'm describing, it's not the same as what people have called, quote, enlightened, which personally I would have to tell you that people really don't agree even on what that word is supposed to mean, so it becomes kind of meaningless. But we're not talking about somebody who's somehow perfected and they're completely beyond the human condition. A translucent person has relationships, and those relationships go through ups and downs, and maybe they have money, and they're sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. They have emotions, they make mistakes, but all of this is happening in a more expansive context. So the game that's happening, which might include sometimes losing and sometimes winning, the game is happening within a context of relaxed ease, of expansiveness, of awakening. And that's what I mean by translucent. Translucent is not an absolute state. It's not what people mean when they say enlightened, that it's somehow a fixed state. You can always become more and more translucent. You could be really translucent in some areas of your life and really opaque in others. You might be, some people are really translucent in business and they're just magicians in business, but quite opaque in their personal relationships. Sometimes you'll find, I've met people who are completely translucent as parents. In their parenting, they're like divine, but really opaque with money, you see? Mm-hmm. So people have areas of translucence in their lives, and what translucence therefore means is the degree to which something magical and mysterious can flow through you instead of coming from your sense of personal doing. And as I said, Shen, I want to just say this again, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind from having conducted hundreds and hundreds of interviews and thousands of surveys and had access to the experience of millions of people through all of these interviews I've done, there's no question in my mind at all that this is the next game for humanity. This is the game we're stepping into, the translucent game. And it's really important for all of us to learn how to play this game, because if we don't get on this wave, it's going to hurt.
I see.
Now, that sounds a little bit fear-based, but I think it's worth saying
actually,
that way.
Actually, what you're saying is not too different from what many other people I've interviewed for Finer Minds have said. Gerald O'Donnell,
exactly.
Who's one of our most popular interview subjects, he has said the exact same thing, that we are entering
exactly.
A shift right now. Now, question, mm-hmm. but you talk about people who are translucent in one aspect of their lives. When one experiences awakening, does that mean becoming translucent in a wide area of our lives?
No, not automatically, no. The awakening means that there is a sudden realization that who you really are, the deepest and possible dimension of who you are, is infinite space, is silence, is love, and is connected with everything else. Now, usually that realization is going to come in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's a moment of making love. For some people, it's a moment of meditation. For some people, it's a moment when hiking and you get to an incredible view. There could be all kinds of ways that you have that kind of breakthrough moment where you realize you are not the mind, you are not your emotions, you are not anything you thought you were. You are actually this mysterious presence. When you first have that kind of awakening, it's a sort of out-of-body experience. You know, it's like it's disconnected from your life. And for many people, when they come back to living this very human life of this Shen or Christina or whatever, it's kind of a crash landing, you know, and then our personal relationships and our dealings with money and all of these things, it feels like a crash back into reality. So translucence means the degree to which that opening of awakening can be lived in day-to-day life. So translucent parenting, for example, means that expansive opening that you discover in a moment of awakening starts to actually breathe into your parenting. So you can look into the eyes of your child and you're meeting in that space of oneness. Translucent business means that that expansiveness is brought into the boardroom, and your business starts to become a play, starts to become a dance. And there are many businesses which I describe in the Translucent Revolution which have begun to be transformed in this way. And I think a really good example for many people would be the new president in America, Obama, mm-hmm. who, I mean, relatively is immensely much more translucent than any political figure we've seen in a long time. You can't necessarily say he's absolutely translucent. In fact, there's no such thing as absolutely translucent. But you can see how something is moving through him. Everyone feels it. Even, you know, staunch Republicans, they feel this guy is somehow guided by something beyond him. He's not rigid. He's not fixed onto his own agenda. He's very available and open and listening. It was interesting, you know, in his inauguration speech in January in Washington, D.C., somebody was transcribing and noticed in the entire speech he never once used the word I or me.
Yes, I noticed
he
that.
He never
too.
Once used the personal pronoun. What?
I noticed that too. That was quite remarkable.
Yeah. So, you know, Obama would be an icon of our times, an icon of the Translucent Revolution. And you can find, in perhaps in less obvious ways, you can find people in every walk of life who are shifting in this way, who are being lived by something beyond the personal, something beyond the rigid, clamped-down sense of me. The personal life continues, but it's kind of unraveled. It's loose. It's fluid. It's relaxed. And it's playful.
Beautiful. Thank you, Arjuna. We're mm-hmm. out of time, but that was definitely one of the most interesting conversations I've had. I'm really looking forward to diving more into this topic. It's beautiful. And
it's an endless exploration, Vishen.
Yes, and what I like about what you're saying is it really, I can see why it makes sense. A lot of us, I mean, as you know, law of attraction is a big, big topic on the internet through the movies, but a lot of people miss the point. It is a means to an end rather than the end. And what I love about what you're teaching is you're teaching people to get to that end, and that end is the awakening, that sense of oneness and love with everything else in the universe. I'm not saying it as elegantly as you are. You are, of course, the Cambridge graduate and the author of the best-selling book, so forgive me for that. But
you're the creator of finerminds.com, the most happening place on the internet these days.
Thanks, Arjuna. Thanks for that quick moment of pure suck-uppery. So everyone else listening, thank you so much for listening. If you want to dive more into this topic, go to finerminds.com/Arjuna, A-R-J-U-N-A. And look forward to talking to you guys again soon. Take care.
It was a pleasure, Vishen. Thank you so much.